with the message in just a moment. A couple other things I do want to mention is we're still in need of choir singers for the cantata. We'll be practicing over at the Hilltop Baptist Church the next three Saturdays at 6 o'clock. And I mentioned this morning we need about 12 more choir members to bring the choir up to 40 members in the choir, which is always nice. And about six people came up to me this morning saying, I'll be there. That's wonderful. We're so excited about that. We especially need more men, okay, tenors and basses, to really fill out the choir, give it that full sound that the men can do when they sing in the choir. So we have the books down here in this box and practice CDs that'll help you learn your part and the practice times. And so especially men, some of you men, I know you can sing better than I can. I've heard you. And we need you in the choir. And so if you could join up, there'd be three more practices and then two practice rehearsals and then two programs. And they're always like the best attended meetings we ever have in the church all year long. We have one over there on Friday, December 13th at 7 in the evening at the Hilltop. And then here Saturday at 2. And last year we had over 200, I think around 220 people, 215 or something at each of the meetings. It was tremendous. And we have a good message and good songs, and it'll make their Christmas meaningful and spiritual. So please, if you can unite with us. Be there at 6 o'clock. I will not be at the work day this Saturday at our new church in Perrysburg. This will be the first one I've ever missed. I have a funeral to do over in Springville for Mike Keefe's sister at 3 o'clock, and then I have to get to choir practice at 6, so I will not be there. But there's work to be done, and Brother Frank Broughton will be in charge, and I certainly want to thank Brother Frank and Tyler Warden and Jim Evans, especially for their work this week. Been amazing. Got new floors down in the bathrooms, got doors hung, sinks are in and working in the bathrooms, toilets are in, and all kinds of other stuff. A lot of painting this week. But we need painting in the two bedrooms. We're actually building housing in the church for traveling ministers. And we need painting, and the ceilings are 10 foot high, and they got to be done with a pole. And that is hard, thankless work. But we need some folks to do it. I've been doing some of it, and it gets to you. But and then there's other jobs that Frank will be there to help you. If you can just do simple stuff or complex stuff, we're really making progress. It's pretty exciting. And that. Now, I want to do a little tribute tonight to Brother Buddy Blunkall by way of the message. And I want to focus on Isaiah 57, verses 1 and 2. Now, Brother Calvin and Brother Frank have heard this because they were at Countryside Thursday night. And I brought it there. And here's some pictures. If you don't know what the Countryside Baptist Church looks like inside, it's a church we just bought, and we opened it up in August. And we don't have a pastor yet or a congregation, but we have a building, and we're having Thursday night meetings and getting 8, 9, 10 people out, maybe 12. When Buddy Blunkall was there a couple months ago, we had 26. And I just want to pass these pictures around. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Brother Buddy Blunkall was an evangelist and a preacher for the Lord and a singer. And he and his wife Phyllis were with us. They were our first special speakers ever up there, singers too. And just a week ago Saturday, he fell off a roof, had an accident, and due to the head trauma, he died. And they had his funeral yesterday out in Benton, Arkansas. And a big, huge church. The place was packed. A lot of people knew evangelist Buddy Blunkall and his wife Phyllis. They had seven children, a whole bunch of grandchildren. And these are pictures of him actually less than 2 months ago preaching and singing at the our church in Perrysburg. You can pass this around. Get over. Where's the clipboard, by the way, anyways? Is that died or is that still going around? Anybody see the clipboard? The clipboard has died. Can anybody? Oh, there it is. All right, let's keep that moving. And if you can sign up for anything, that's great. But if you don't know Brother Buddy, here's some pictures of him and Phyllis. I just want to bring a little bit of a tribute to him, but in doing so, I want to use the word of the Lord to help give us instruction tonight on what happens when a righteous, merciful man is taken away from us. Suddenly, accidents happen. You know, accidents have no respect of persons whatsoever. Brother Buddy was a dear friend of the body of Christ. I have seen him sing his heart out and his wife sing their hearts out and preach to little churches like Countryside when 26 people show up. Or I've seen him out at the Northeast Vision Summit in Berlin, New Jersey. Every year my wife and I have been there. I've been there 5 times. He was there singing. Doesn't matter whether it's a big, huge church or a tiny little church. He'd always put his heart into it. And he'd always preach and sing. And he was just a great evangelist for, I don't know, it was 35, 40 years, how many years in the ministry. I don't remember all the details of his life. Didn't really know him that well, except as a casual friend in the body of Christ. I know that we have the camp meeting up here in Hamburg every year in August, the tent meeting. And he's been there, I think, since the beginning. I'm not sure, but I think 35 years he's been coming to Western New York and being a blessing. I don't quote me on that, but I never, I always shook hands with him. I was always kind to him, friendly to him, and he to me and everything. But about 6 years ago, he had a massive heart attack right on the platform of a church. And he was rushed to the hospital, and he flatlined twice. He was a goner. But they brought him back. God brought him back. Prayer brought him back. The medical, praise the Lord for people who work in the medical field that can help at times like this. And God gave him another 6 years to minister. And after that, I remember thinking, why haven't I ever had Buddy Blunk all to our church? So we've had him several times now. Because I thought, a man like that, you go through something like that, you get pretty close to God. It just happens that way. And we want people who are close to the Lord. And I was always blessed by him, but it just seems like his preaching and his singing and his wife singing just kind of took on a little bit of extra anointing maybe of the Holy Spirit. And it was a blessing. He always said memorable things. And I still remember things that have helped me in the ministry and that he would say while he was preaching. And I wrote to him some time back, long time back. I sent him an email and invited him to come this year in September. And we had a week of kind of unique meetings. We invited him for Wednesday night service here. And then I said, Friday, we're going to have a youth rally with several hundred teenagers from a bunch of different churches around the area and here, and I'd like you to sing and preach to them. And then Saturday, we're going to have a meeting with college and career single adults, ages 18 to 35, and I'd like you to sing and preach there. And then Sunday is my wife and I's 40th wedding anniversary, back on September 15th. And I thought a long time ago, who would I want to have preach for our 40th wedding anniversary? And I thought of Buddy Blanco. And I said, I'd like you to preach in the morning and teach, and then we'll have a big dinner afterwards and then preach in the evening. And so we sent him this email, and I knew he had a heart attack, and I said, do you think you can do all of that? And he wrote back one sentence. He says, I ain't dead yet. And So he came and he did all that, and it was great. It was just a wonderful, wonderful week. During the college and career fellowship on Saturday, we went over 2 doors down to the bowling alley, and we said, now, Brother Buddy, you don't have to come to this, but we're having bowling with the singles. And then we're coming back to the church at 4 o'clock, coming back to the church at 6 o'clock for a preaching. And for singing, and then we're going to have pizza and wings and stuff afterwards. And I said, you don't have to come to the bowling or anything. But he came to the bowling, all right. And he shows up with a bowling shirt on. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world? Does this evangelist travel around America and carry a bowling shirt with him? I knew I was in trouble. And my wife and I were in the same lane with him. It was really nice. We got to bowl with Phyllis and Buddy. I'll never forget it. And my wife and I, and then we all the other lanes were the college and career. And he beat me three straight games. And I'm glad for him. He was very, very good bowler, competitive. And we had a good time, and it was just good to have a personal moment with him that I wish I'd have had. But I think we were just starting to really become some friends over the last 2, 3, maybe 4 years. And Phyllis, of course, they make friends with everybody they meet. They're very, very humble people, so they know Hunter. And there were just probably a thousand. I don't know how many people were at his funeral, but there was a lot. There was a lot. So, of course, you scratch your head a little bit. If you're human, when things like this happen, and you wonder why somebody would have an accident at the age of 67 when he seemed to be at the zenith of his ministry, and surviving a massive heart attack and then to have an accident and to die, and we must be very careful. The writer of the Proverbs said in Proverbs 27:1, he said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. I don't know what a day may bring forth. I'm 62. I might not live as long as he did. You never know when accidents happen. I remember the great Dr. Harvey Springer. He was so excited on for the Lord. His church had grown to thousands of people out there in Colorado. And he had a big youth camp and was reaching a lot of souls, just unbelievable. He's 56 years old. And at youth camp, a horse kicked him in the head and killed him. And what a preacher he was. And boy, was God ever using him. I still remember one of the sermons he preached. And I'll never forget it. And he died. You never know. It doesn't matter if you're young or old or whatever. Accidents happen. The National Funeral Directors of America report that 25% of all deaths are sudden or accidental. 25% of all deaths are sudden or accidental. The rest are a result maybe of a long, disease or illness or something like that. James said, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away," in James 4 and verse 14. Verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and study, such a city and continue and buy and sell and get gain. For what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And that's where we come up with the phrase biblically where we say, "Lord willing." It's accurate to speak that way and say, "Hope we'll see you Wednesday night, Lord willing." "I'll be there, Lord willing." We've got to understand that our times are in His hands. And none of us are invincible. It seems like we think we're invincible, that always happens to somebody else, but they probably thought the same way in their life. Jesus warned us to be very careful about these matters. In Luke 13, he said this, "Of those 18, in verse 4, upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And so, I'm not sure what this was, but there was a current event when Jesus walked the earth where a tower fell down. A tower fell down and killed 18 people. And Jesus, who knows the hearts of all men, knew that some people were thinking, boy, they must have been really bad for that to happen to them. The Lord said, no, the tower fell down and killed them. Don't think you're any better than they are. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And so we got to be careful. I've found it best just to not make judgments about those things. The Lord said, judge nothing before the time when God shall make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. And we just leave those things in God's hands. You don't know why something happens to somebody, and nor do I. But Phyllis, you know, she's going to hear some horrible things because we have a heartless adversary, the devil, who gets into people and makes them say some of the dumbest things you can imagine. I've done 230 funerals, and I want to write a book sometime on things I've heard in funeral homes and make it be like a comedy slash drama. I don't know what it would be. But you would not believe the things that people, even well-meaning people, will say to somebody. And you pray for Phyllis, his wife. Put her in your heart. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7 says we ought to have people in our hearts, and at least for the next 30 days. Pray for Phyllis Blunkel every day. And, you know, because this was so sudden. But when we get to our text, Isaiah 57, I want to show you four reasons tonight why righteous and merciful men are taken away sometimes suddenly. The book of Isaiah is a unique book. From chapter 40 through the end, chapter 66, there's just a lot of comfort. Prior to that, in chapters 1 through 39, it's a lot of judgment. And then chapters 40 through 66 is a lot of comfort. And it's just an interesting book. And when we get to this text, Isaiah 57, we're going to look at the first two verses, verses 1 and 2. They tell us, as Isaiah speaks by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they tell us why sometimes righteous men and merciful men are taken away from us, and sometimes it seems like before their time. Verse 1 says, the righteous perisheth. That means he dies. That's what that word means in this context. Sometimes the word perish means to be separated from God forever. It talks about hell and a lake of fire in other texts. But this is talking about the righteous perisheth. The righteous dies. And it says that no man layeth it to heart. He says, nobody seems to figure out why. And nobody seems to really ponder this in their heart, why this happened. It says, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that. And then he gives four reasons why righteous men and merciful men are taken away. Sometimes that happens, and it puzzles us as human beings. Did you know Enoch had a wife? Did you know that? You probably didn't. But did you know he had a wife? He had a bunch of kids. I hope he had a wife. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's all it says. Later in the New Testament, it says, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And when you read how old he was when God took him, he lived about one-third of the average lifespan of a human being back then. He was taken perhaps at a very young age. He had a very famous son named Methuselah. Methuselah is renowned as being the oldest person to ever walk the earth. That was his son. And it says he was 65 years old when he gave birth to Methuselah, and that affected him profoundly. And it says from that day on, he walked with God. He walked with God. One day he went for a walk with God, never came home. I don't know whether Mrs. Enoch ever got an explanation. She just never saw her husband again. Did you ever think about those things? And sometimes it's hard for us to remain when things like this happen and we don't get an explanation. But here we have an explanation, and I want you to notice, number one, righteous and merciful men are taken away. Number one, they're taken away from the evil to come. Do you see that in verse number one? Merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. I'm not sure if you're all Bible students or not. But if you're a Bible student, you know that according to the scriptures, if these are the last days, and I believe they are, and I believe I could give you substantial reasons why I believe that, but if these are the last days, things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, because the prophecies say so. In 2 Timothy 3, it says, "This know also, that in the last days," what? "Perilous times shall come." Perilous times shall come. Why? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God." It goes on later to say, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I hear a lot of people saying, "Boy, I never thought it would come to this." Some people are in shock, the things that are happening in America, the things that are happening in New York and Albany and even locally. And they say, "I never in my life imagined that it would come to this, or that our society would embrace this, or call the good evil and the evil good." And the Lord went on. That was Paul's prophecy. But the Lord talked about famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. And it would be like the days of Lot and like the days of Noah, and families would fall apart, marriages would fall apart, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Just horrible times, getting worse and worse and worse. You know, Brother Buddy's not going to see any of that. He's not going to see any of that anymore. It's gotten, you know, with my constitution, that I've learned not to even read newspapers and not to watch TV and not to watch news on television and be careful and selective what kind of even radio programs I might read. Why? Because I get angry. And I start to say, "Well, why? How can they do that?" I mean, down in Albany, they're, you know, expanding abortion practices to the point where a live abortion even should be allowed to die if the mother chooses. They want to legalize prostitution. They want to legalize marijuana. They want to expand sports gambling. They want to legalize euthanasia. And you're like thinking, boy, they're making they made almost 900 laws this year when it's over with. And you're like, I never, ever imagined in my life it would come to this. And you're wondering, what's it going to be like 5 years from now? What's going to be on the internet? What's going to be on the smartphones and all these kids' hands? And what's going to be on the television? The television programs getting more and more evil and the commercials and so on. And what's it going to be like 10 years from now? What's it going to be like 15 years? Does any of us think, oh, it's going to get better and better? You know, Buddy's not going to see any of that. He'll never see any of that. It'll never grieve his heart again. It'll never cause him to lose sleep again. He'll never, as the prophet said, Ezekiel said, sigh and cry for the abominations that the nation is accepting. He'll never do that again. He has been taken away from the evil to come. That's not such a bad thing. Number two, he shall enter into peace. Verse 2 says this, he shall enter into peace. That's the second thing about righteous and merciful men who are taken away. They shall enter into peace. Jesus said in John 16 and verse number 33, he said, "In this world you shall have tribulation, But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. We taste peace in this life as we walk with the Lord. But Brother Buddy is in peace right now. He shall enter into peace. He shall enter into peace. That's the second thing. We realize that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And he is with the Prince of Peace. There's a song here I'm looking for. And it says it very well, the author in his poem, Jim Hill. There is coming a day when no heartaches shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. And you know, we sing that song a lot at the funeral of Christians. Those that we know who have died in Christ. What a day that will be. And he is in the presence of the Prince of Peace. For it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means when Brother Buddy fell and his spirit left his body, he has been in the presence of the Lord ever since then for the last 8 days. He has been in the presence of the Prince of Peace. Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's gain. Oh, it's a loss for his family who remains here. It's a loss for his wife, but to die is gain for the believer in Christ. In Philippians, in verse chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. See, we have hope. The Scriptures give us hope. The Scriptures give us comfort at times like this. They shall enter into peace. Number three, they shall rest in their beds. They shall rest in their beds. Now, Jesus said that today is the time for labor, the time for work. In John chapter 9, Jesus made this statement in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When the Lord comes back for us to the clouds in the air at the rapture, that's the night when there's no chance to work again. Or when we die. We rest, it says, from our labors. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, and the last book in the Bible, and verse 13, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. What happens to those that die? They rest from their labors. They rest from their labors. Now, I would encourage you all to, watch yourselves and try not to burn yourselves out and so on. But if you're going to work for the Lord, you better get at it, and you better keep at it. And Brother Buddy Blancall, he was a soldier of Jesus Christ. He was a worker. His wife was a worker, or is a worker for Jesus Christ. They just never stopped going. They went and went and went and went and went trying to lead souls to Jesus Christ, and trying to win people to the Lord. I'm trying to think of a song here. I'm not sure if our book has it in. it, but just popped into my mind here. I'm not sure who wrote this one. Charles Gabriel. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. What a start to that song. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe. It says their works do follow them, which brings me to the last point of the text here in Isaiah 57, verse 2. He shall enter into rest. They shall walk in their beds. Now notice number 4, each one walking in his own uprightness. We are not saved by works, but our works will be remembered there. As I just read in Revelation, chapter number 14 and verse 13, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. When it says here in Isaiah, each one walking in his own uprightness. Back in the old days, the old timers used to say this when someone died. They would say, he's gone to his reward. That's what they used to say. They don't say that anymore. We've become a very, very secular society. But in the old days, they used to say that. Somebody would die and they'd say, he has gone to his reward. And they used to talk biblically or biblically based. And that's what happens when someone dies. They go on to their reward. Their works do follow them. Each one shall walk in their own uprightness. Heaven for the saved, and you got to be saved to go there. But heaven for the saved is going to be different from for every one of us. Now, we are not saved by works, so quit trying to save yourself by your own works if you're trying. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not going to be one boaster in heaven, not one, who's going to say, let me tell you how good I was to get here. No, we're all going to say the same thing. We have been redeemed by the blood of the crucified one. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me, shed his blood to wash away my sins, was buried and rose again. And I'm not trusting in what I can do. I'm trusting in what he did for me on the cross that day at Calvary. He's the Savior. I'm not. I'm trusting in him to save me. We are not saved by our works. Paul told Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Regeneration is being born again. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior and believed in him with all your heart to save you? Because you can't save yourself. I know some of you might be sincerely trying, and that's noble, but it's not good enough. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is not a righteous man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's a lot of people have tried hard, but none of us can match the perfection of Jesus Christ, and he is the standard of righteousness. But when we're saved and trust Christ as our Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin is washed away. All, A-L-L, all. All means all, and that's all it means. Every sin you've ever committed is washed away, and you're forgiven, and you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to go to heaven, is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not by the church. It's not by religion. Not by good work. Not by baptism. Not by confirmation. Not by catechism or communion or anything. It's by Christ and Christ alone. But after we're saved to work. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and that's your business. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8 says this, Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own work. So don't let anyone stop you. If you know somebody who's slowing down, if you know somebody who's getting lukewarm, if you know somebody who's getting cold, if you know somebody who's dropping out or quitting, go on without them. Keep working for the Lord. We'll get our own reward according to our own labor. If any man's work, every man's work shall be tried what sort it is, not what size it is, but what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. But he has gone to his reward. He worked. He didn't waste his life. Phyllis didn't waste her life. Way back in their youth, they said, we're going to serve the Lord. And boy, they served the Lord through a lot of hardships. Being an evangelist is harder than being a pastor. Being a pastor, in most cases, you have a paycheck or something from a local church every week. Evangelists just live by faith. And boy, he used to tell stories about him and Phyllis and their bus breaking down and God helping them and getting them along to the next place and so on and so forth. And they've had a hard, long road to hoe, but there's been a lot of rewards and blessings, and they wouldn't have it any other way. But they started in their youth serving the Lord, and they dragged their family along. And they followed the Lord, all seven kids, going around evangelists, I think in every state in America he's been in different foreign countries. Don't quote me on that, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Brother Buddy and for all he did for us, local churches, especially in Western New York. He was a blessing to the churches of this area. He was from Arkansas or somewhere. I never did find out, Louisiana. But he would come to Western New York and be a blessing every year. Every year. I want to close with this one last scripture. In the last chapter of the Bible, the last words Jesus ever said, he said this, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You see, that's what it means when the righteous and merciful are taken away and they walk in their own uprightness. He's gone to his reward. He's gone to his reward. And I thank the Lord for Buddy Blancall. And I thank the Lord for scriptures like this that help us understand that when good people, righteous people, merciful men are taken away, they're taken away from the evil to come. Number two, they enter into peace. They'll never have turmoil or tribulation again, ever. They're entered into rest. They'll rest in their beds from their labors. What a refreshment heaven must be. And then each one of them walks in his own uprightness forever. They've gone to their reward. And I hope tonight this little text here will help you and I understand things that puzzle us as a human race. As we just can't figure out sometimes, why do good people die young, or what we think is young? And this gives us at least four answers to ponder, and I hope it'll bless your heart. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to receive the Lord's Supper at this time, and then we're going to have baptism. If you're new, the Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the church. There's only two ordinances in the church. One is baptism, and that's for